All right. So we're here today, and it's Intuitive Soul Radio, and I'm with my lovely guest, Lori Weinberg. So we're going to talk a little bit about you and what you do and everything that we can just get an idea of who Lori Weinberg is.
Okay.
So just tell us a little bit. Now, I know you do spiritual psychotherapy, but I know you've had a very unique history of where you've come and where you've gone. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and how that probably has created your own unique ability to talk with clients.
Well, let's see, where could I go to start this whole thing? You know, I would say the start of my journey as a therapist really began when I did yet another year of law school in Toronto.
Right, you were a lawyer.
I was trained as a lawyer in Buffalo, New York. And when I moved to Toronto, I still thought I was going to be a lawyer, even though I never enjoyed law school.
Right.
This is how off we can become from who we really are. And no offense to, you know, if you're suited to being a lawyer, how wonderful for you. But I just completely wasn't. So by this point, I'm now doing tax law for the second time at York University. I'm now doing criminal law for the second time. These are not courses that I was even enjoying.
Wow.
And I started to feel so unhappy. It was like an unhappiness that I had never really felt before. It was so deep and so profound, and it wouldn't give up. It wouldn't let up. And I knew I was off track, but I didn't know where was the next place to go. So I noticed there was an advertisement for a yoga class, and this was a Kundalini yoga class. So I went, and it just happened to be that there were only two other people that night. And we did an opening for the heart chakra that was a particular mantra. This was in Kundalini yoga. They do a lot of mantra and chant, and it was beautiful. And this, the chanting of this mantra just unleashed all this sorrow and pain that I didn't even know I had in my heart. And I started bawling my eyes out. Now, at this time, it was perfect because the other two women had already left. And it was at the very end of the class. And the woman leading the class just pulled out her card and said, "Well, I happen to also be a psychotherapist." So that's how my journey as a psychotherapist really began, was by experiencing the pain of not being who I was, but not really knowing who was I really. I was acting in the world from a place of who I thought I should be, but I was very far removed from my true self. And through therapy, through my own therapy and beginning my own healing journey, I discovered much, much deeper dimensions of the self. I remember after the first session, I felt better, so I thought I was done. I was in my early 20s, and my therapist called me. She said, "Lori, you know, that was just the start. You need to come back." And, you know, 6 years later, and screaming fuck with a bat, you know, because I also thought I was really nice and I didn't have any anger either.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how we can really be removed from
who we are,
from the greatness of who we are.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because I had to sit with myself, that's my greatest credential as a therapist, because I had to sit with every corner of my own pain. And now I can hold that space for other people. But, you know, you learn a ton in school, but I feel that it's really my own inner work that forms the foundation for what I do.
I think that's probably the most important.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are a lot of therapists out there who, you know, for whatever reason, people go into the fields that they're meant to go into. And a lot of times they go into them because they need to do their own healing.
Right.
And sometimes that gets done and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I know that that is one of the beauties of the particular program you took, is that they actually require that you have to do.
That's right. You have to do quite a bit of therapy on yourself. I think it's a must, really. And then I had a, you know, another experience that was really an eye opener and really an awakening. And that's when I went on a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat. And I sometimes I tell this story to clients, so I'm happy to share it here because, Great. You know, for the right listener, this will speak to them. Do you want to hear this? Do you want
your story? Absolutely. Okay.
All right. So it was a 10-day. Now this is in my, I think my early to mid 20s. I've now started therapy, I believe, at this point. And I decide, okay, I'm going to go on a 10-day silent meditation retreat. Oh, and I was not really a meditator. I was trying to meditate, but nothing was happening. So I went off with a couple friends to this place in Massachusetts. And you couldn't talk to anybody. And there was very little food and tons and tons and tons of meditation. And I was loving it. And in fact, I was really good at it. Really? I was really good at not talking. And meditating and sitting there. And I loved it.
Wow.
And other people were talking to squirrels.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is that there's this energy. I know you know about this, but I'm just saying, you know, in case the listener doesn't know what I'm talking about, there's an energy coiled at the base of the spine called the Kundalini. And because I was meditating so much and I was just loving it, and for whatever reason, this Kundalini energy decided to shoot up my spine to the crown of my head. Cool. When, and that's like taking your finger and plugging it in a socket of, you know, 10 million watts. So I basically, it was dangerous in a way. Mm-hmm. And it was a classical spiritual emergency that ensued, but also a great spiritual opening in that, you know, the great saints and sages talk about everything is really God. And, you know, we can maybe agree with that on an intellectual level, but I do feel like the lingering gift of that experience is that I actually experienced that. Mm-hmm. I remember looking into the eyes of a dog and knowing that that essence in the dog was me.
Wow.
And so it was, and that's seeing different colors as they really are, like this whole world is actually much brighter, I think, than we see it.
Because of the filters we put on.
Yeah.
Because we can't handle
it
the way it is.
We can't handle the intoxication of this world. I think we dim the light. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, a blessed week or more, I had an experience of unity. Unfortunately, I was ungrounded along with it. Mm. And that's when I, you know, I learned the value of a spiritual master and what they do. And it became clear to me that an organization has to know what they're doing with the Kundalini. And that's right. When I met Dr. Williams, who's a phenomenal entity channeled by Bart Smith, and just, you know, my path really took off, and he helped me to understand that whole experience and what had happened. But that really, that experience also is part of what makes me a therapist, because sure, I can hold that space for someone who's had a really wacky experience that they can't understand spiritually.
Now, it didn't, you called it a spiritual emergency, but it doesn't sound like it really impacted you the way I've heard other people have been impacted, where, you know, they're in a psychotic hospital for,
you know, I was lucky in that I have, you know, very supportive parents and they spoke to my yoga teacher in Buffalo, and she got her yoga teacher. And so I had a bunch of yogis around me who understood what was happening. Otherwise, I would have ended up maybe in a hospital and not have it not handled correctly. Instead, I took homeopathic substances that are innocuous, you know, that helped bring the energy down. It was really that the energy needed to ground, and I couldn't ground myself because it was so powerful. So it was quite a journey.
How old were you then?
I was probably about 23, something like that.
So that's an early experience.
Yeah.
Early experience.
And I later learned that Dr. Williams calls it a spontaneous Kundalini combustion. And that there are many, many of us that are having these kinds of awakenings. And it's wonderful if it happens in a really auspicious way under the guidance of a fully enlightened master.
Definitely.
But we don't all have that privilege.
Right.
But still, there was great value in that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And so how did that then forward you? Like, what did that do to assist you to become who you are? Like, I mean, that is what it is about. When the Kundalini right. rises, it's because you're getting in contact with your own inner goddess, inner god.
Yeah.
And so that would definitely impact the rest of your life. So how do you feel that that has impacted you? I mean, I know you now, or certainly feel like I know you a lot better. And, you know, you're probably one of the most compassionate people I've met. And Thank you, very gentle and very, you seem very grounded to me. I mean, I've never not seen you grounded. So I can understand it being at 23 or whatever, that might be the case. But as a Virgo, you have that very solid earth energy. So, I would never... I mean, it's hard to imagine what that would have been like, but.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the great gifts of that whole journey is I did start to go to see Bart Smith, right. who's in Toronto regularly. And after.
So were you in the States still then?
No, I was now living in Toronto. Okay. And so I asked him, you know, what happened? He explained it, spontaneous Kundalini combustion. And he said, it takes a fully enlightened being to ground that kind of energy. And he said, this organization didn't know what they were doing. Right. Now, not everybody goes to Vipassana and has this happen.
I'm sure not many people have it happen.
But if you do, it's not the right place to be.
Right.
So I said, okay, so who's this fully enlightened spiritual master? And he wouldn't tell me. He's like, you're not ready.
Oh.
And then a year later, okay, so who is it? You know, your boundaries are still, you know, you have to really be strong before you meet up with us. And when you do, it's going to be really wonderful. And then finally, after asking three times, he told me. And I went to her ashram and I had what's called Shaktipat. And that's the awakening of this same energy, but this time by a fully realized master. Mm-hmm. And because of that experience, I, at a cellular level, understood what is a guru and what's the point of all of this. I knew, because when I meditated there, instead of being afraid that, oh my God, I'm going to go too far, there was a downward current, which they call the current of Shiva, is the downward current. And all I had was the upward current.
Right.
And at the ashram, it was the descent of grace. It's a downward energy.
Mm.
And so it grounded me. Having a child grounded me.
Yeah.
Going to that ashram grounded me. Doing therapy grounded me. And actually, most of us are not grounded.
No.
When we're not really here.
Right.
And it takes a lot of work and a lot of consciousness to ground and to become here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, because it's such a difficult physical plane that we're on, you know, people don't want to be like, I don't know how many people have said, you know, I want to go home.
Right.
You know, and it's just been recently that I got that, you know, a guru has said to in a tape that I've been listening to, it's like, you know, home is inside of you.
Yeah.
Like we keep thinking it's this out place, this other place, we're going somewhere else. And you know, it's really, it's finding your own inner God.
So true. Like it's so true. And that's the journey, isn't it, Laurie? We all need to come home to ourselves.
Right.
So, and that's really what my journey is about now, is coming home to myself at deeper and deeper levels and assisting other people to come home to themselves.
I mean, what a blessing that is, that you're able to do it for yourself and then do it for your clients. I mean, that's a pretty awesome experience that people get to take part in, because you've done it, you've been there, you can now assist others. And so it obviously would help very much your journey, and this is obviously very much who you are.
That
you know, you're in the right place, you're doing the right work.
It's such a blessing to wake up in the morning and like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not to like it, to love it, and to be to feel, you know, I feel deeply fulfilled. And I seem to attract an extraordinarily lovely clientele. There are so many wonderful people that they want to become much deeper with themselves. They want to live a deeper, more meaningful, more fulfilling life.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be this high-functioning person
and
walk around with a lot of misery and know that there's something greater, there's a better way to live, but not know how to get there. So I feel that, you know, oftentimes I'm like a guide for someone, just to find their path, because they're just slightly off. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us are slightly off, but it can feel hugely off.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a really interesting time for women these days. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really, you know, because it's been so unbalanced for so long with just the male dominant energy. Not that that's a bad thing. We definitely needed it. It just, it went too far. And so now, you know, we're in this transition period where we're discovering, you know, what it's like to be a woman, what it's like to have that feminine energy, to have the Shakti, you know, and, and play with it and dance with it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, finding that deeper place, it's just a very interesting time to be a woman.
It's an interesting time to be alive, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Such an accelerated, exciting time.
But I think a lot of women are struggling with trying to figure out who they are, because the our identity has changed.
I'm getting that with men, though, too. I have some wonderful men in my practice, and you know, it's same thing too.
Yeah.
They're trying, you know, it's really that we're trying to find the self.
Yeah.
The innermost self, which is bliss. Who, I mean, who talks about that? You know, do we learn?
Well, that's it. 'Cause it's not in our school system. It's not in our major religions. It's not, you know, it's really an awareness and an awakening. Yeah. And it's an interesting journey, because I mean, you were blessed that in the way that you did find the people that you needed to help you. And I know that, like, I think mine was completely opposite. I did a lot of my work on my own, and that's hard.
That is hard. It's like trying to pull yourself up by yourself.
I don't recommend it to anybody. I would much rather have had somebody that I knew and would have helped me. Like, it would have been great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, you know, I think there's a lot of work we do need to do on our own. And then a lot of times, I think people sometimes, for whatever reason, hesitate to seek assistance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm maybe I'm a wimp. I just like things to be as easy as possible. Like, why make it rough and tough?
Yeah. Well, my issue was my story was always about being abandoned. So it would always be that the lesson I would learn at the end is, oh, I have to do it by myself because I can't trust anybody else to help me. Right. So that was my story.
Sense. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why I ended up having to do most of it myself. Thankfully, I was actually good at it. But
Yeah. And so that's how you learned how to be wonderful at what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's true. There's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong.
Oh, path. But I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I would never recommend this, because I always knew, it was like, I always knew there was a part of me that would always say, we're not supposed to be doing this on our own. We are not supposed to be doing this on our own. We're on a planet, this tiny little planet that has billions of people, and every one of us feel we're alone.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the truth? And that's the biggest trick of the ego, is that sense of separation. That's why that phase after the Vipassana retreat was so blissful, because it smashed the sense of separation to smithereens for that brief time. I mean, it's come back, and I'm going to have to continue to work through it, you know, probably for another 10 lifetimes, whatever.
Oh, come on.
Well, we'll see. But it's quite blissful when you do feel connected to the policeman, and you feel connected to the tree, and you feel connected to the blade of grass.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people that I work with are that's a big theme is loneliness.
Yeah.
Big theme.
Yeah.
Big theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feeling separate, feeling lonely. And some of it, I think, is how our society is set up. And some of it is that need to go on that deep, deep inner journey to break through that illusion that we are even alone.
Right. So your business, you see both men and women, like, 'cause I, you know, typically I see probably more women than I do men.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely more women. I think that's the times we're in.
I think
too,
so.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are some very brave souls who are men who are jumping on board with, trying to balance the male and female within and live a more balanced life and, all of that.
Yeah. And so is there anything about, I guess, because you are unique, I mean, you are, what would you like to tell people that's you know, uniquely you, other than you've done a lot of work, which is very clear, and you've,
yeah,
you know, you've been in that deep place, so you can, yes, you can hold space. So, but what if somebody were to listen to this and off of your website? I mean, what would you like them to know about you?
Well, I think one of my strengths as a therapist is when you walk in the door, I'm already sensing and seeing your greatness, and you don't know it. And you're identified with your pain, your story, your trauma, your difficulties. And I'm seeing you as the end product. And I never give up. And whether you're going to stick with your process or not is up to you. And there's nothing I can do about that. Mm-hmm. But people that are willing to continue and to really commit with to themselves and to me will get to a different place, because I am persistent in relentlessly seeing a person's greatness.
Is that the lawyer in you?
And that might be the lawyer. You hear how tough I can be? Yeah, because we can, you know, we can give up on ourselves and just think, okay, well, screw it, you know? Mm-hmm. Life sucks and it's just going to stay this way. And I, you know, I refused that for myself, and I refuse that for my clients, because it's not true.
Yeah.
And when we're in a, you know, when we're in a difficult spot, it can seem like there's no way out. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else about your education or anything that helps you be uniquely you?
One of the things that I was born with, that everybody's born with, but I was quite aware of it as a child, was intuition. Mm-hmm. If somebody lost braces in a pile of snow, I remember this happened, I would find it.
Really?
Or if we played cards, I knew I was going to win. So weird things like that. Like I was
confident. She is.
I had confidence, and you know, I had a lot of confidence and a trust in that inner voice as a child. And then I fell asleep to it. I fell asleep to my own inner knowing, my intuition, and you know, went on that whole journey of, you know, losing oneself, going to law school, not knowing who I was really about. Some of that shut down. Mm-hmm. And I just felt very out of touch with myself. So what is a big strength now is that at the school that I went to, a lot of the training was about intuition. And it just brought it back up for me again. Mm-hmm. And again, so I feel that every one of my clients has that as well. And it's about bringing it back up. Because it's not about my wisdom. Everybody has this innate inner wisdom. And my gift is like, let's have you hear it. Hmm. So you can trust. There's so much inside of you that you can trust. Right. It's not that I'm, you know, the holder of all this wisdom that you don't have. You've got it.
So you're holding their space so that till they remember it.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
uncover it.
And it's interesting because in hypnosis, that inner healer, that inner guru, that inner teacher is so evident. And a lot of times people come in and we'll talk for a bit, and then we both say, okay, we both have no idea where we're needing to go today. And that's fine. And then they drop inside in just a slightly relaxed state. It's not even like a deeply relaxed state. It's a slightly relaxed state. And there's that inner wisdom, and it's loud and clear, and it guides the whole session.
So a light trance, or do you do a lot
light,
of?
Yeah, a lot. The major tool I use in spiritual psychotherapy is hypnotherapy.
Neat.
And it's such a great tool. It gets to the issue faster, I find.
Because their head's not getting involved.
Their head's not getting in the way
as
much. And I think, you know, that word hypnotherapy can scare people. And so I say, forget the word. It's really, it's just like too big of, who cares about the word? It's just really like, can you close your eyes? And, or not even, you can keep them open.
Right.
And watch your breath coming in and out. Everybody can do that.
Sure.
So if you can do that, you can start to silence your mind a little bit.
Right.
It's not hard. I think that can scare people.
Definitely.
Because they think, oh, I have to be in this deep trans and, you know, see stars and colors and lights, and it's not like that.
Well, they get confused with the carnival show,
right?
Hypnotherapy,
right,
where they're doing things that's not in their control, and you know, they're afraid what they're going to do, and
it's surprisingly mundane. Even if a person goes into what feels to them like a past lifetime, they just go to it. It's mm-hmm. just organic. It's not that they have to be in a trance for 2 hours and mm-hmm. we have to do some spells and incantations. Like, it just comes up.
Right. Right.
So I find, you know, it's just very natural.
Right. That's great.
Did that answer your question? I feel like I just went on and on about something else.
No, I think that would, because I think that's, you know, people do want to know what spiritual psychotherapy is. Yeah. So I think talking about that is probably a really good thing, because I think, you know, light trance, meditative type energy that we can put ourselves into, that's a really powerful place.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize, and you know, when we were talking about, you know, like everybody's intuition is different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people feel, some people see, some people
that's
hear.
Right. Yeah.
And they get all upset because they're wanting to do what other people do. And,
yeah.
you know, and they're not getting their own unique gifts.
It's so true, Laura, because I always say when they're in a trance state, just notice what you're seeing or sensing or feeling or hearing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're not seeing something, because mm-hmm. we overvalue clairvoyance, but all the clairs are useful. And everybody has some kind of a clair.
Sure.
Whether it's clairaudient or clairsentient. I'm more clairsentient myself. It's so phenomenal to witness people experiencing their own intelligence, their own wisdom, this deeper intelligence.
Yeah. It's a blessing.
It is.
Yeah. And it's an honor to assist somebody when they've never been able to touch that place.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's a great blessing that you can do this work.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that's even better. You enjoy it.
I do. Yeah, enormously.
And I think, you know, I think also part of your journey, because you did go from a place of, I don't know whether it was what your parents wanted you to do, or whether it was, you know, this is how you're going to make lots of money. Mm-hmm. And so you went into a field, and there's a lot of people that, you know, are in a place where they're trying to figure out what their passion is, and, you know, and they want people to tell them what their passion is. And that isn't helpful for anybody.
Right.
But by the fact that you've done it, where you've gone into a place where, you know, you potentially could have made a lot of money, but at the same time, you recognize that it wasn't who you were.
I'll tell you, the ironic thing is that before law school, I did an undergraduate in piano performance. Mm. So I went to law school thinking I had to be practical. Huh. And the most money I ever made in law, get this, $5 an hour.
No.
Because when you can't stand something right. and your heart's not in it.
Sure.
And you really cannot do it.
Yeah.
Because it's against every fiber of how you're made.
Yeah.
Then it's not going to be profitable.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. I guess that's the other part of that story. Yeah. I mean, you see so many people and they're very upset and they're wanting to do something, wanting to change.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost everybody wants to go out and do their own business. And, you know, I recommend anybody who does that to make sure that they are in a great network, because
Completely. So you're over that abandonment thing, Laura, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
You're like, okay, help me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think networking really, it is too alone if you're not. That's
and
probably why I chose it as well. But you know, you need to network, because
completely.
That is the only way.
Completely. And I'm very much into connecting with other therapists and other healers and everybody, because we all have a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So.
And I think we're supposed to.
I
don't think one person's supposed to have the answers.
No.
Unless it's yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And then as long as you can uncover that place where
then you're
it
in
is
good,
you,
you're
then,
in good business.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's been great talking to you.
Well, now, thank you.
Why don't you tell us how we can get a hold of you?
Okay, so you can go on to my website, which is www.innershift.net, and it's shift, shift.net. And my phone number is 416-465-0739, and feel free to contact me if you're listening and this has piqued your interest. Don't hesitate, honey.
That's great. And in fact, I think we're going to talk about, you know, having something a little bit more regular on, you
great.
Know, an evening or during the day, mm-hmm. something that works for you, that, you know, so that we can maybe get another therapist in here too, and we can
That'd
have people, you know, call up and we can do some stuff, and
I love
that would be fun.
I love it. And thanks for putting this out there. It's great what you're doing with us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a show.
Well,
and
thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me on the show.
And you'll be back. So I'm Woo-hoo! Very excited. Yay. Thank you. And so that's Intuitive Soul Radio, and we'll be back. Bye.